O Lord, as we gather this day to worship, we do so with praise and thanksgiving. We come with praise because you are God and we are your servants. We give thanks because you love us and accept us as your children. In this hour, we are also reminded of our weaknesses and humbly seek your guidance, and we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated. Let us continue to worship as we read responsively number 538.
I'm always glad when Christmas comes. For one reason, because it brings so many greetings from friends all over the world. Sunday night, Ms. Adams and I sat together and went through a whole lot of Christmas cards, read each one with care and appreciation. They came from Wake Forest, from Richmond, from across the country, and around the world. There was a beautiful calendar of beautiful Japan sent by Seiichi Akiba over there in Tokyo. Or there was a lovely little personal note from Jeannie Atkins in Rhodesia. Calendar of the Baptist mission work from South Africa. Greeting from Brother Lakowski at Budapest in Hungary, or Gerhard Klaus at the Baptist headquarters for the Alliance in West Germany, from a dear old friend, Ernest Payne, president of the Baptist Union of Great Britain and Ireland, all over the world. And no wonder, that's what Christmas is all about. In Luke, you remember the second chapter. Luke tells the story of the birth of Christ in the manger at Bethlehem. Then he goes on to say, in the same country there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Good tidings, great joy to all people. My, what a text. Good tidings, good news. God loves us. God cares for us. God sent his Son when the time had come to redeem a world. And the world thought so much of him years ago that they divided history at his coming, B.C. and A.D. He came a light into the world. And as John tells us, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. We rejoice again at Christmas because a light has come into the world, a light of hope and joy, of love and of peace. And what a difference it made because Jesus came. My old friend Henry Pitt Van Dusen, long president of Union Seminary, good many years ago on a sabbatical went on a journey around the world to study Christian missions. He'd been pretty skeptical about missions and went expecting to write quite a critical report of the mission enterprise in the world. But when he came back, he was a new Pitt Van Dusen. Enthusiastic about missions, charmed with what he'd seen, impressed with what was going on in many a land around the earth. And he summed it all up, telling about his experiences by telling how one day he went to a remote area that once had been pagan and ungodly. He went by boat and landed at a little dock. And as he left the boat and landed on the dock and started up to the school, the students were lined up on either side, singing, "What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have a peace and a joy I long had sought since Jesus came into my heart." It is good tidings of great joy. No ephemeral passing joy, but a deep and abiding joy. So that I could write to a good friend yesterday when tragedy struck suddenly in her family and say, "May the deep and abiding joy and peace of Christmas be in your hearts at this time." How wonderful it is to have good news of great joy, a joy that's expressed to us in love and in peace and in hope. Love that is godlike. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and said, "Love one another as I have loved you." We find that love in our homes, our families, our church families. Some years ago in Richmond, when there was a good deal of holiday drinking, the town fathers decreed that anybody who was caught speeding or drunk driving, no matter who it was, would spend a week in jail. And one day, a member of one of our Baptist churches was caught driving drunk, and they put her in jail for a week. She belonged to the Fidelis Sunday School class in that particular Baptist church. And the members of the class at first were horrified to find one of their members was in jail for drunk driving. And then the teacher and the leaders of the class said, "Maybe we failed her." And they went to see her in the jail. They took her a basket of good things to eat and to share with the other women in the prison. And in the basket, they put this little note: "We love you. We ask your forgiveness. We knew you had a problem, but we haven't tried very much to help. Please forgive us. We'll be waiting for you when you come out." And the next Sunday, when the pastor stood up to preach his sermon, right in the middle of the sanctuary was the whole Fidelis class, with the lady who'd been in jail right in the middle, tears in her eyes and many another, but they loved her. They saved her. Good tidings of great joy, because we have a godlike, Christ-like love. And peace. We sort of bandy these words around at Christmas sometimes, but what depths there are in each one of them. peace on earth, goodwill amongst men. And how thankful we are at this Christmas season that a Muslim and a Jew, undergirded by a Christian president, are striving for peace in the Middle East. God grant that peace on earth and goodwill may come to that troubled part of the world at this Christmas season, because they care enough to do something about it. But not just peace on earth, peace in many a troubled heart. Let me tell you a story. Some years ago, I had a call from a woman I didn't know. And she said, "Dr. Adams, my husband is in the Veterans Hospital. Would you come and see him, because the doctors say there's not much hope for him, and he's not a Christian." I said, "How did you happen to call me?" Well, she said, "I'm a Catholic." It developed that she was a Catholic girl who'd married this GI over in Germany. Her father was a noted Catholic. He'd been knighted by the Pope for his service to the Catholic Church in Germany. She'd married this GI and come over to this country with him. They had a couple of children, but now he was dying in the hospital. And she said, "My priest wouldn't go because he's not a Catholic. And the place where I work, I was talking to one of the girls about how I wanted a minister to see my husband. And the girl said, 'Call Dr. Adams at First Baptist Church, he'll go.'" I was so glad she knew I cared. And of course I went again and again, and the man found Christ and died with peace in his heart. And Barbara came and joined the church. That was a long time ago, but just a few weeks ago, the cable came saying her mother had died in Germany, and Barbara borrowed the money and went home. Came back with a heavy heart, leaving her old father over there. Just a few days after she got back, I talked to her and said, "Barbara, how's it going?" "Oh," she said, "all right." She said, "I got a wonderful letter from my daddy. And in it he wrote, 'Don't sorrow for her anymore. She's with her Lord. She has no more pain, and she's nearer to you now than she's ever been.'" And Barbara said, "You know, since I got that letter, I have a great peace in my heart." And last Sunday, there she was, singing in the choir, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men." Love and peace and hope. Hope for this world and the next. We're rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, serving the Lord. Ms. Adams and I had a wonderful experience just 2 or 3 weeks ago. We went to Winston-Salem for a gathering of over 100, nearly 150 Baptist doctors and dentists and their wives, who have given and are continuing to give their service gladly in missions overseas. And they came to talk about it and how they could enlist others to do the same thing. The chairman of the meeting, a distinguished surgeon from Memphis, his son was there, also a doctor. And talking to the son, I asked about the family, and he said, "Well, mother's had a very serious time." He said, "Father found that she had a lump in her abdomen. She's had several operations. She nearly died. And the future is not too bright physically." And I said, "Well, I'd like to see her." "Oh," I said, "there she is right there." And I looked around, and there was a lovely, radiant woman greeting all her friends. I could hardly believe she'd been so sick. And the medical prognosis was so poor. And one day she gave her testimony. She said, "I've looked death in the face. I no longer fear death. I've known the wonder of yesterday, the joy and beauty of today, and I don't fear tomorrow." And her good husband, standing by her side, said, "All this happened because Jesus brought a new quality to our lives." Good news, great joy for all people, no matter what the circumstance, the troubles, the trials, no matter who they are, where they are. All kinds of people, rich and poor, educated and uneducated, old and young. It's all kinds of people. Jesus ministered to all the kinds of people there were, and he does now. One of the most beautiful Christmas stories I know is the one that Norman Vincent Peale tells about when he was a boy walking one day with his father, just toward Christmas time. And in the dusk, the boy brushed against an old man, and he turned to his father and said, "That old tramp ought to keep out of people's way." And the father said, "Norman, never talk about anybody made in the image of God like that." Dr. Peale says his father took a dollar out of his pocket, and then a dollar was a lot of money, and said, "Son, you go back to that old man and give him this dollar in the name of Christ." Dr. Peale says, "I went back. I touched the old man on the arm, and he turned to me. And I said to him, 'Sir, I give you this dollar in the name of Christ.' And said, 'Well, something wonderful happened. The old man took off his battered hat and bowed and said, 'Sir, I accept it in the name of Christ.' And the whole thing was transformed." And Peale said, "I didn't see the battered hat or the tattered clothes or the grimy hands anymore. I saw a man made in the image of God. It was all different in the name of Christ." That's what Christmas is all about. That's why you and I are about the Lord's business, to see that the good news of great joy is known to all people. And there are millions of them around the world who join with us today in singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." As a young American serviceman a few years ago found out, stationed in a lonely spot, far from home, on an island that once had been cannibal, he decided to see if there was a church on the island, and found one. They took him in, into their church, into their hearts, into their homes. And Christmas night, he sat down and wrote to his folks back home, "I'm so glad you gave to missions. I've had the most wonderful Christmas in all my life." Good tidings. Great joy to all people. Shall we pray? O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today as we hear the Christmas angels the great glad tidings tell. Good news, great joy for all people. In Jesus' name.